chapter 3. I'd like for you to turn there with me in your Bibles, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. I think this is a somewhat familiar passage for most of us. The Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. A time for everything," chapter 3, verse 1. "To everything a season and a time, for every purpose, for everything." For everything a time and a season. I want to talk about that today. I've titled my message, "Only for a Season." Only for a season. But for all of us, rich or poor, male or female, no matter what our nationality, our race, no matter how much money you have or don't have, the Bible tells us we all experience various seasons. We all go through it in our lives. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, and then there's everything in between. What this passage reveals, when you read about all of these times, a time for one thing and then its direct opposite, what you realize is that our lifespan doesn't run in a straight line. From the day you're born to the day you die, it's not a straight line, but rather it's more like a graph of ups and downs and peaks and valleys that describe our experiences. But you know, we get from the day we're born to the day we die. We're all going to get there, unless the Lord interrupts history in our lifetime and raptures the church, which we believe could occur in our lifetime. But otherwise, there's a time to be born and a time to die, and in between is not a straight line. In between, like a graph, ups and downs, like the stock market. Up and down, peaks and valleys, highs and lows, periods of smooth sailing and periods of rough water. Periods of squalls and even hurricanes, right? Good times, tough times. Times to laugh, times to cry. There are times of joy and times of sorrow. We all go through them. This is the human experience. There are times when we've got extra money, and it seems like there's times when we just don't know if we're going to have enough. We all go through these periods and times, times of gain, times of loss, times of clarity when you know what God's telling you to do. And then there are those times when you scratch your head and wonder, "Lord, what are you telling me to do?" We can identify with all of these things, right? We can take all of these experiences that Ecclesiastes talks about here, all of these ups and downs. We can take them all from the day we're born till the day we die. We can roll them all up into one great big ball and give it a name. It's called life. And that's what life is. It's getting from the day we're born to the day we die and going through all of these seasons. Isn't it interesting? That's what Ecclesiastes calls them. Seasons. From the mundane, everyday routine of life, you know, your normal daily routine, to those events that are dramatic or sometimes tragic or sometimes just memorable. But we all go through them. There are glorious days and there are horrible days. There are days we wish we could forget, and there are days we hope we'll never forget. We all go through these seasons. Now, the very word itself, seasons, for everything a season, the Bible says, the very word season signifies change. That's actually what it signifies. We think of, I know when I think of seasons, it's not like some people, you know, like Fleet, he thinks of seasons. All he thinks about is Tony Chachere's and Tabasco sauce. But that's not the kind of season we're talking about, Papa Fleet. Seasons, we're talking about, I think about warm summer days, which generally I like. Everything grows, you just got to cut the grass too often. You know, that's what I think about, sunshine, heat, humidity, summertime. Everything grows in the summertime. And then you think about the fall season, when things begin to change a little bit. The temperature cools down, and leaves begin to fall, trees change colors. That's a nice season. It lasts about 2 days here. And then, of course, there's the winter season that we think of as basically down here. It's gray skies, and that's our rainy season. The temperatures cool off, but then everything changes again in springtime. They know that's a new season when it looks like all the flowers bloom and the grass starts to grow and the birds sing and the honeysuckle grows on the vine. And you know, the Bible says God established the seasons. That he established them. And I'm going to read a passage to you. You don't have to turn here, but just listen to this. This is what God says. You know, he says the seasons are never going to stop until the end of time. But in Genesis 8, verse 22, he says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. He established those seasons, and they're going to continue until the end of time and everything blends into the great eternal state of things. But you know, the seasons are for a purpose. God established them not just so that for our entertainment, you know, to watch the leaves fall off the trees. The seasons serve a purpose. There's a growing season. There's a planting season. There's a rainy season. There's a winter season, and they're all important in the economy of God. They're all important for us. They're important for us. Even the snows and all of that, the winter cold, that's important because all that snow up north eventually melts, puts water in the reservoirs, waters crops. It's all important. It's all in God's great scheme. I'm going somewhere. You know, our lifespan is even compared to the seasons. When you think about it, you'll hear people talk about the flower of youth. Because, you know, young people, that's the spring season. They're so young and vigorous and they're growing, all the growing years. And then there's the summertime when in a person's life, that summer season when you're established and you marry and you have children, you know, that's a growing season. And then there's the fall season in life. The fall, you know, just like in the fall here, the trees lose their leaves and change colors. Well, in the fall season of life, our hair starts turning colors. And if you don't do something about it, you know, it changes colors. We start showing signs of our age. And then there's the winter season of life, with that characterizes advanced age. Now, weather-wise, our seasons are roughly divided. Now, when you live down here, they're not. Down here, we have two seasons. And I'm going to tell you what they are. You see, you think you know, but you'll agree with me when I tell you what our two seasons are. Hurricane season and the rest of the year. That's what our seasons are. Of course, I heard some of these outdoorsmen, yeah, they've got season, deer season, duck season, red snapper season, you know. But really and truly, the four seasons, the earth is roughly divided up, the year is roughly divided up into four seasons of 3 months each. Of course, if you talked about the seasons of the human life, our seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter would be roughly divided up into about two decades each. So a season could be 3 months, could be two decades, or longer, or shorter. So when you talk about a season, when we speak of seasons, we're talking about a period of time that may not be very specific, right? The Bible speaks of certain seasons that we will experience in our lives, and it speaks of them in a powerful and profound way, and I'd like for us to look at a few of those passages today, because that's really what I want us to consider. I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, for instance, that speaks of some of the seasons that we will go through in our life. Y'all with me? 1 Peter chapter 1. There are particular times in our lives that the Bible speaks of as seasons. Beginning in verse 3, 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is, for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." The Bible speaks here about us going through seasons of trial, seasons of trouble, seasons of affliction, or seasons of difficulty. He says, verse 6, "wherein you greatly rejoice." In other words, we're not supposed to be murmuring, complaining, grumbling, or crumbling, but we're supposed to be greatly rejoicing, even though now for a season. You see, I want to talk about that. It's only for a season. "Even though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness," and that word heaviness means you're distressed, you're in trouble or stricken or going through trouble, "through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to look with me to verse 4. And I want you to notice something very important here, because context is very important. Verse 4 says that there's something waiting for us. Verse 4, and that is an inheritance. It's an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, does your Bible say that? This is what's ahead for you and for me. An inheritance. It's an inheritance that is undefiled. Now, you can accept that inheritance without any reservation. You know, there is such a thing that you could receive an inheritance that you really don't want. You just found out, for instance, that your uncle died and he left you his extensive collection of pornography. I mean, he saved it over a lifetime, and it's probably worth something to somebody, and he left it for you. Just for you. That's what you call a defiled inheritance, right? Now, we've got an incorruptible, undefiled inheritance waiting for us. There's some inheritances you don't want. I remember a movie years ago about a fellow whose relative died, and he gets word of it, and his relative left him a brothel. There's some inheritances you don't want. Oh, you got a relative, they died, and they left you their, they had a slot machine business, and they left it just for you. It brings in a lot of money. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want the money slot machines bring in. You don't want that money. That money brings death with it. That money will bring judgment with it. You don't want that kind of money. You don't want prostitution money, gambling money, drug money. There's some inheritances you don't want. But here's an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. It's not vanishing like our Louisiana coastline, you know. Somebody could leave you their property. Oh, too late. It's gone. Washed away last week. Or you could get somebody who leaves you their stocks. Oh, yeah, my Uncle Donnie left me all his stock in Enron. Or General Motors. Or Chrysler. Or any of these other companies. That's what you call a vanishing, disappearing inheritance. It was worth something one day, but by the time it comes to you, it's gone. Or your aunt, you know, she perishes, left you her house, but unfortunately, the lawyers got a hold of it, and by the time they took their cut, paid the bills, paid the nursing home, whatever, you got nothing. Here's an inheritance that's waiting for us, the Bible says, that fadeth not away. It is not vanishing. You know, there's some, you hear some of these inheritance stories that people share. Their daddy left them a flourishing business, but by the time they got through with Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sam put on all these inheritance taxes, they had to sell a business to pay the tax bill. But here's an inheritance that fadeth not away, and look, it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. How about that? Kept by divine power, it's kept for you, and verse 5 says you are being kept. You who are kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. This reservation is kept in your name, and you're being kept in Jesus' name. He's keeping you. How about that? We're going to receive this inheritance if we'll endure. The Bible says, this is what's ahead. And you should greatly rejoice in this, verse 6, even if right now you're going through difficult times. Sometimes you might question yourself and wonder, I don't know how I can endure these difficult times. I don't know how I can hold on. And I especially don't know how I can rejoice in trials and adversity. Well, the Bible tells us you can rejoice today, knowing what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow you receive your inheritance. Hello. Tomorrow you receive your inheritance. You see, these trials, verse 6, are just for a season. It's only for a season. The tough times, the difficulties, the distress. The Bible says you can greatly rejoice now, even through these times of trial, affliction, and difficulty, because they're only for a season. They're only for a season. It seems like a long season sometimes, huh? But trials, afflictions, difficulties, persecutions, the Bible says it's only for a season. Only for a season. And look, the trials may be many, manifold trials, he calls them, verse 6. Manifold trials. They may be many, and they may be hot. Because he also calls them, in verse 7, fiery trials. Though they be tried, though it be tried with fire. So the trials can be hot. But notice what he compares it to. He compares it to gold. The trial of your faith, the proving, testing, examining of your faith is much more precious than just gold. I mean, what's gold to God? But the proving, testing, trying of your faith is much more precious than that. Though it be tried with fire. You know, they take that iron, that gold ore, that rock, and they crush it. In fact, they almost, it seems like they're going to obliterate it, but they don't. They just crush it into a fine dust and powder. And then after they put it through the crusher, then they put it in the furnace. So the furnace removes all the rest of the impurities and all the dross is skimmed off until all that's left is pure gold. Well, trials are like that. You ever feel like you're being crushed? You ever feel like you're being put through the fires? Well, that's what the Bible says trials do. They prove us, they test us, they examine us. And I can't overemphasize how important this is, because faith that is unproven and untested, you just don't know if it will stand the test when it really has to. Unless it's been proven and tried and examined. I mean, we realize how important it is to test things before they actually are put to the test. For instance, those seat belts you clip on when you get behind the wheel of your car, aren't you glad that they've actually had tests to make sure that they will hold you? Because it would be terrible to find out when you really need it to work that it's never really been tested. And the result could be catastrophic. It could be death. Those airbags that deploy when your bumper crumbles, aren't you glad they test those things? So that they make sure that when the moment of impact, the instant of impact, that thing deploys and actually catches you before your face slams into the steering wheel and the dashboard. It would be terrible if they didn't test them and say, yeah, we got an airbag in there. And then after somebody's face is smashed through the windshield, it deploys. Too late. You want it tested. If you're a soldier, you're about to jump out of an airplane, they say, look, we've given you a brand new parachute. We had to cut some corners. We're making them out of fishnet now. But you go ahead and jump. You would want to know somebody had actually tested that parachute before. Maybe a dummy got dropped down or something to... We want things to be tested before they have to be tested, right? Well, your faith is like that. Our faith must be proven. It must be tested. It must be examined so that it's shown to be real. It's shown to be genuine. So that we stand the tests in the real days of adversity and trial. Real faith is faith that's been proven and tested and tried. I mean, let's face it, anybody can sing praises to God on a good day. The sun is shining, you've got a few bucks in your pocket, You actually finished paying the bills and you've got a little bit of month left over? Oh, good times. Praise God. You can sing and shout. Can you sing and shout when it's just the opposite? When the circumstances are not so good? When you're feeling some unexplained pain in your body and, you know, your mind's playing tricks on you, trying to suggest all kind of terrible ailments you probably have. And then, you know, you don't have quite enough money to meet the expenses that are facing you. And you wonder how it's going to come. Hey, can you come to church and sing just as loud? Can you raise your hands just as high? Can you shout hallelujah with a smile on your face? Or do the worries of the world sap your spiritual strength and your joy? You see, faith is not moved by circumstances. Faith is resting, settled, solidly on the promises of God. And nothing else. Nothing else. The old timers used to call it the naked promise, because that's all you have. We rest on the naked promise. That's it. The trial of your faith, proving, examining of your faith, being much more precious in the eyes of God than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Faith that endures will result in praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll honor and glorify the Lord. Your faith that endures the test. When you are unmoved by these trials. Now, you might not be able to explain them. You might not know why you go through what you do. Sometimes we know why, but I'll save that for later. But just keep this in mind. These trials, it's only for a season. It's not forever. It's just for a season. Now look with me to another passage. Since you're in 1 Peter, look with me to chapter 4. Let's read a verse or two over here. 1 Peter 4. And verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Don't think it strange. Don't think you're the only one. Why am I going through this? Why me? You think you're the only one? You think you're the Lone Ranger? You think God has singled you out and said, I'm going to step on him. I'm going to stretch her trial. I'm going to... No. This is human life. Amen. From the day you're born until the day you die, there are seasons. Up and down. Heights, depths, good days, bad days. Horrible days, wonderful days. There are days of smooth sailing and days of horrendous seas. It's life. Don't think something strange has happened to you, that God has singled you out, or God has said, you know what, I don't like her. I'm just going to do mean things to her. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Verse 13, but rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Well, you know, he's not here to suffer. But if he were here, he would still be suffering. If he were here, they would treat him today just like they treated him 2,000 years ago. So since he's not here physically, you get to experience what he would have experienced if he were here. You get to experience the rejection, the mockery, the cruel jokes, the snide remarks, the persecutions, the harassment. You get to experience that in his stead. And you get to do it for his glory. For his glory. He says, verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. They're talking bad about the Lord, and you're being glorified. Christ is being glorified in you. Well, he says, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but glorify God. Be thankful that you are being able, as a Christian, to suffer in behalf of Christ. He goes on and says, verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let them that suffer according to the will of God. Look, God allows these things in our lives. This doesn't catch him by surprise. And he allows us to go through these things. It's the proving of our faith. It's all part of the furnace. It's part of the examining process. Just as that gold ore has to be crushed to get the gold out, well, you know, there's a lot of us that has to get crushed and get out of what God wants to produce in us. There's still a lot of self here. There's still a lot of self-will and independence and pride and ego, and there's a lot of crushing that's got to go on. There's a lot of humbling that has to take place. And then after he's finished crushing us, then he throws us in the fire. You know, to do the rest of the job. Look with me over to chapter 5. We're in the same book. Chapter 5, I want to read a verse over here. Verse 10. Look at this verse. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while. What? After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After that you have suffered a while. Well, sometimes these things are necessary to produce Christ's image in us. It's like the old story of the fellow who was purifying silver. And he had it in the furnace and he kept skimming the top off because, you know, the hotter the fire gets, it all the dross bubbles up and he keeps skimming off the dross. And somebody's watching this process and they ask the fellow standing over the fiery silver being purified. They said, how do you know when it's done? How do you know when you're finished? He said, when I can see my image reflected in the silver, I know it's done. Well, we're not finished until the image of Christ is reflected in us. But it's only for a season. It's only for a season. The trials are not forever. They just seem like they're forever. But there are periods of rejoicing. There are periods of laughter. There are periods of peace. You know, there's a time of war and a time of peace. We've got plenty of war. Sometimes it's in our own home and family. But there's also a time of peace, the Bible says, right? So there's a time of peace. Praise God for the calm seas and the smooth sailing. And rejoice in those times because guess what? That's only for a season too. In fact, I'd like for you to turn with me to another passage. In Luke chapter 4, only for a season. Luke 4, we'll read a couple of verses over here. We're going to read, verse 13. This is the account of the Lord's temptation in the wilderness. Remember when the devil tempted him for 40 days in that wilderness period? Verse 13, Luke 4, 13, the Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him forever. He departed from him for a season. Amen. So, Now let's consider this. Look with me back to verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The first thing you do, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Next thing, trials, troubles, tribulations. He's led immediately by the Spirit into the wilderness. And verse 2 says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days by the devil himself. Now, there's the master tempter, the devil, right? I mean, he is the master tempter. So you've got the Son of God and the devil tempting him for 40 solid days. You talk about a battle of wills. You talk about intense combat. 40 days of intense warfare. 40 days of temptation. And we read a little bit about it when the devil tempts the Lord to do different things, you know, make stones into bread and jump off the roof of the temple and all these things and worship me. 40 days of trial, trouble, temptation. And after those 40 days, verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That means what? He's coming back. Kind of like hurricane season. It just keeps coming back. We finally get through. But that's the way the seasons of life are. We have seasons of trial and trouble, seasons of smooth sailing, good times, tough times, to everything a season. That's what the Bible says. But it's only for a season. Weeping may endure for a night, Psalms 30 and verse 5 says. But joy comes in the morning. Sometimes these seasons that we go through may be short. Sometimes they may be prolonged. There's a passage in Joshua 24. You don't have to turn there. But in Joshua 24, 7, God speaks to Israel and he says, you dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. 40 years. I'd say that's a long season. Yeah. You dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. That's a long summer. But it's not forever. And your trials are not forever. It's only for a season. There's something else here I want us to consider. When you think that, you know, Brother Rusty, this Christian life of hardship and trial and difficulty, the troubles, the tribulations, you know, all this, many of the afflictions of the righteous stuff, I just don't know if I can deal with it. It's too much for me. It's just too much. All these trials, troubles, tribulations, afflictions, persecutions, it's too much. Well, let's consider the alternative. What's the alternative? You're going to go back to the world? That's the only alternative. It's either serve the Lord or serve the devil. That's it. That's it. That's the only alternative. That's the only option. Serve the Lord, serve the devil. There's no in between. These trials and troubles are more than I can handle. They're really not. The Lord says he won't allow us to go through more than we can handle. It may seem like it's more than we can handle. But we can count on him. And look, we can go through this. We can even rejoice knowing we have an inheritance just ahead. This is not our inheritance, all of this. Our inheritance is just ahead. Uncorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Like that old song, I've got a mansion up over the hilltop. Right? Consider the alternative. You could go back to the world. You could go back to the drinking and drugging and gambling and carousing and nightclubs. And you could go back to all of that. You could enjoy the pleasures of sin, but just keep in mind, that's only for a season. Hebrews 11, it's only for a season. Moses turned his nose away from the pleasures of sin because he knew that's only for a season. Right? The pleasures of sin, and sin offers its pleasures. It offers its gratifications to the flesh. But boy, it's so quickly over. So quickly over. Those seasons, that season of sensual enjoyment or whatever, fleshly gratification, sinful gratification, it's quickly over. And then you have to answer for it. The pleasures of sin for a season, it's only for a season. So don't ever envy the sinners as they flaunt their wealth and they flaunt their fame and their prestige and their cars and palaces or whatever it is. Don't ever envy them, because let's keep in mind, all of this sensual, fleshly indulgence and enjoyment, it's only for a season. You see, they don't have waiting for them what you have waiting for you. You have an inheritance waiting for you, uncorrupted, undefiled, fading not away, reserved in heaven for you. You have an inheritance waiting for you. They get their riches now. You get yours when you die. When they die, they lose all their wealth. When you die, you gain your wealth. Right? The Bible says the ungodly are like the chaff of the wind. That's what they're like. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. They won't stand in the day of judgment. I want to tell you something else. Not only are the pleasures of sin just for a season, it's a very short season, and then there's payday. But life itself is a very short season. Our whole human life, you know, the Bible compares it to a season. In 1 Peter, the Bible speaks about our life like the grass, that it's like the grass and the flower of the field. And you know, the grass grows green and it grows fast, and the flowers blossom and bloom, but the Bible says they quickly fade. And the flower wilts, and the grass dies. And that's the way human life is itself. We have a period of life, of growth, of activity, of productivity. We flower, we flourish. But life is quickly over, very quickly over. And then we face eternity. Now, it's only in our human life here on earth that we go through these seasons. Because once we die, there's no more seasons. Once we die, it's eternity, and it will never change. It will be eternal blessedness with the Lord as we inherit this wonderful inheritance reserved in heaven for us, or it's hellfire. It's one or the other, and that will never change. There's no seasons in hell. There's no rainy season in hell. There's no springtime in hell. That's how you know this ain't hell. You know, all the foolishness when people say, oh, I believe hell's here on earth. I believe this is hell. This is hell. Can you get in out the heat? Then this ain't hell. Can you drink water? This ain't hell. If you think this temperature is hell, can you go up north and be cold? This ain't hell then, right? Because once you're in hell, there's no escape. There's no air conditioning. So we have these seasons in our human life. But beloved, we endure them. We overcome them. We trust the Lord one day at a time, knowing what's ahead for us. And that is this inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that does not fade away, that's waiting in heaven for us. You know, I've got something else here that I was going to drop on you, but I think it's going to have to wait. No, I can't drop it because I wouldn't be able to deal with it. I'll have to deal with another season, another time. But I will say that there are also seasons in our Christian life, seasons of the soul, you might say, rainy seasons and even dry seasons that we have to deal with and overcome. And even those dry seasons are times when we, once again, we look to the Lord, we stand on His Word, we examine our hearts to make sure we're not in any kind of sin, and we overcome and press in and trust the Lord. Amen. Until the rain comes. He says we can pray for rain in the times of the latter rain. So how about praying for some spiritual rain? If you're going through dry seasons in your life, you can pray for spiritual rain. Well, I wanted to encourage us this morning because I know that a lot of people are going through a lot of things. In fact, I don't know anybody that's not going through something. Because that's the human experience. It's from day you born to the day you die. Wouldn't it be nice if it was just a straight line and smooth sailing? But it's that graph, that up and down, peaks and valleys, tough times, good times, great times, horrible times, that everybody goes through. Through it all, we trust the Lord. We look to Him. Keep our eyes on the Lord, knowing that, look, what you're experiencing is no different than what anybody else is going through. No strange thing has happened to you. It's the human experience. It's life. And in life, we trust God. Well, Father, we pray that You would encourage us today just to stand on Your Word and to trust You and to look to You. Lord, to keep our eyes off of ourselves and off of our circumstances and off of our own little troubles and problems. And Lord, while we don't minimize our trials, Lord, we know that You're faithful to bring us through them all. Help us, Lord, to see that it's only for a season, only for a season. And help us, Lord, even to rejoice through these trials and troubles, knowing Your faithfulness and the provision You've made for us and what awaits us just ahead. It's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.